for this afternoon, I'd like that we would turn to the Gospel of John and read from chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 24. Gospel of John, chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 24. When the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I wish to conclude there. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. The events that preceded this event that we read of this afternoon was that where Jesus fed 5,000 men with a few loaves of bread and two fish, and the people marveled at that, and yet they were filled, and they took pleasure in that which they were filled with. Then after that feeding, the disciples went on a boat, and there was a tempest on the seas there. And then Jesus appeared to them on the water, and then immediately when he entered into the boat, they were where they were wanting to be. And the disciples, those that were fed and those that were listening to that which he had spoken, were seeking after him. And we read that here in the first verse that we read together in verse number 24, where the people finally caught up with Jesus. And as they came to Capernaum, they were seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" They were seeking him. They were looking for him. And Jesus, he knew all men, and he knew what was in their hearts. And we even read that he knows those who will come to believe in him and those who will not. And he knew all men. And so he says to them, "You're seeking me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Because you fed the flesh, you were pleased with that, and you're seeking me for that reason. You're seeking me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." And so the thought comes is, what are we seeking Jesus for? Is it that we might be filled with the loaves of this life and the food of this life and the things of this life? That Jesus would help us in these things? Or are we trusting and believing in Jesus for even greater things, and that of eternal life and looking to him? And we read here this afternoon of how he's speaking to them that his flesh is meat indeed, and they are to partake of his flesh. And they weren't understanding that. They weren't getting that. But finally, he tells them very clearly in verse number 63. And it seems to be the climax verse for this chapter, where he says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." It's the Spirit that makes alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing." He says the flesh, it amounts to nothing. It will die. It will turn back to dust again. It profits nothing. Then he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And so as he's telling them that you need to partake of my flesh and drink of my blood if you want to be partakers with me, But what he's referring to is that which is spirit, that which is life, and the words that he brought forth, and that the words bring forth eternal life. And we are to be partakers of that, and to be raised up on that last day. And so Jesus is telling these disciples and those that were seeking after him, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. There's a difference. Don't labor for this meat that you partake of, and then not long afterwards, you're hungry again. But he's saying, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. It is the Son of God who can give unto us everlasting life. And so the disciples ask him, well, what should we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus says and gives a very clear and plain answer to them. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that he came and he brought forth the words of God. Believe that he is of himself the Word of God. Believe that he is that perfect Lamb and died upon a cross for the remission of sins, that those sins which have been repented of and confessed would be remembered no more. And they all could be forgiven. And so when we believe on him, we will have eternal life. And this is what God would have us to do. This is the work of God, that we would believe on Jesus Christ. And so these disciples, they saw his miracles, which he did on the diseased, and they saw the miracle of being fed, of just a few loaves of bread and two fish, and fed 5,000. They saw these miracles, and yet now they're asking, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee, or what dost thou work? Jesus had done these miracles. Jesus had made himself manifest. And he was doing these miracles that we might come to know, and that they and us might come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus even said that to the people. Believe me for the very work's sake. And he had done these works, and yet now they are still asking, what showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What work doest thou? And then they continued on and said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And it's just a miracle that they were asking these questions, and Jesus knew just that right response to give to them. When they were referring back to Moses and this bread that came down from heaven as they were in the desert. Psalms speaks of this. It's recorded, the actual event is recorded in Exodus. And then there are other portions of scriptures that also refer to this as well. But in Psalm 78, it speaks of this, and it reveals that what was in the heart of those Israelite people when they were coming out of Egypt and back into the promised land. And it says that, though he had commanded the clouds from heaven and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. This is what they're referring to. God gave us manna from heaven. And so though it rained, though the doors of heaven were open and it rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. Meat to the full. And perhaps that's how that was for those 5,000 men, as Jesus imparted unto them the food of the loaves and of the fish. They ate to the full. And there was baskets that were taken up afterwards that was even left over. And so they ate to the full. And just as these Israel people, as they were leaving Egypt, had eaten to the full. It says he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind, and he rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea, and he let it fall on the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote them down, the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. The children of Israel, as they were leaving Egypt, they also lusted. They also just wanted this meat. They yearned for the garlic and the onions and the leeks and the cucumbers and the fish that they had in Egypt. They wanted that. They wanted to raise a captain and said, let's just go back to Egypt. They were thinking about this life. They were thinking about how this how the flesh was profitable. When Jesus says the flesh the flesh doesn't profit at all. And labor not for the meat which perisheth. And so just as it was for them back in that time, whom these disciples were saying, it rained manna from heaven, and they were given the food of God, the psalmist here is saying that, yeah, God gave them, and he gave them corn from heaven. And he caused the wind to blow, and the fowls of the air came, and they were about them, and in I believe in Leviticus or in Exodus, it also says that they came 2 cubits high, 3 feet high of food, of quail, of this food that came of the feathered animals, feathered fowls, as the sand of the sea. And it says, and yet while that food was in between their teeth, God poured out his wrath upon them and slew them and smote them down, and they still sinned and believed not for his wondrous works. Jesus was doing wondrous works in front of them, and they believed not. They believed not. And he knew who it was who wouldn't believe. Think of that other verse in Psalms where it says, he gave them the desires of their heart, but sent leanness unto their souls. They wanted for the flesh. They wanted for the flesh. Both the children of Israel and these disciples here that were fed, they wanted for the flesh more so than for the spirit. What are we seeking Jesus for? For this flesh and for the things of this life? That we might have it good in this life? Or are we seeking him for life eternal, and that on that last day we would be raised again? This is the work of God, that you would believe on him whom he hath sent. And so, as these men are saying, he gave them bread from heaven to eat, Jesus says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, not it. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to give us life, an eternal life, an abundant life that goes beyond the comforts of this life. And then they desired this bread. This bread of God that comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. They desired it. And they say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And it was so that a couple chapters earlier that Jesus had an interaction with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And Jesus is saying, don't you know that I am the living water? And the woman says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She wanted that as well. But again, not for spiritual or eternal purposes, but for temporal purposes. And so these men are here saying the same thing. Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Our souls, our spirit will be satisfied when we believe the words of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter then what happens in our earthly life. It doesn't matter what our lot is. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter our circumstances. When we believe the words of Jesus Christ, they will nourish our spirit. They will fill our souls. We will be blessed by him. And we will be full and complete and content in Jesus. But Jesus is telling them, you've seen me. You've seen me, and yet you don't believe. And I don't want to spend the time going through every verse here, but he's saying that to them, that this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. This is what Jesus will do, because he is life, and he gives life. And if we abide in him, we will have life. And that there is going to be a last day. There is going to be a last day. And all of this world and all of the heavens will all vanish and perish and be done with. And there will be this last day. But those that believe in him, those that accept the teachings of Jesus, will be raised up again. Raised up again. And so they started to murmur. They started to bring doubts and speak against Jesus, saying, how can he say that he is bread from heaven? And how can he say that he is from heaven? His name is Jesus. We know his parents, Joseph and Mary. We've known he was raised in Nazareth. We know of him. How can he say, I'm come down from heaven? And Jesus says, murmur not among yourselves. And then he says, verily, verily, verse number 47, another very important verse in this chapter that we've read together. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. No, Joseph was not my father. No, I am from heaven, Jesus would say, and he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. We have everlasting life when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we believe his words and know his words to be true and know his words to be faithful. In the previous chapter, we also read the same thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We have life in Jesus Christ. When we believe on him, when we accept his words, when we confidently can say that Jesus Christ is the anointed one, he is the Messiah, he is Emmanuel. He is deity that has come here upon this earth, taking upon himself flesh and blood, living a perfect life, doing the will of his Father, bringing forth the Father's word, offering himself up as a sacrifice, shedding his blood that we might receive forgiveness of sin, being buried, then rising on that third day and living forever. We believe these things to be true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am what can nurture your soul and give you fullness and completeness in you. He says, your fathers, the ones that were coming out of Egypt and were receiving of this manna that was raining down from heaven, the corn of heaven, and those quails that came in great abundance, they're all dead. All those men are dead. They're all buried. They're in the wilderness. They're all dead. That's not the manna from heaven. Jesus says, I'm the manna from heaven. I'm the one that can give life, an abundant life. Those of your forefathers, they're all dead. and buried. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. I will give my life for the world. Jesus did give his life. His flesh did die there upon the cross. He gave his life for the life of the world. And so these Jews, as they're listening to Jesus, they're striving among themselves. They can't understand. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then again, now, for the fourth time, as Jesus is interacting with them in this synagogue that's in Capernaum, he says for the fourth time, verily, 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 meaning this is truth. What I'm going to say, this is truth. I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he's not referring to his flesh and to his blood specifically. He's referring to his words, the words that he brought forth. His words are life eternal. And if we are partakers of his word and we believe in him, we will have eternal life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And again, just as he said, verily, verily, four times, he said this phrase as well, four times to them, I will raise him up at the last day. Again, two things that are important from that message. I will raise him up at the last day. That number one, there's going to be a last day. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Jesus will not pass away. There will be a last day, and Jesus, if we have faith in him, will raise us up on that last day. He will raise us up. Ours is to have faith in him. Ours is to believe in him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He also says here, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. Meaning he lives together and they're working together, him and the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So even as Jesus and the Father are alive together, that we likewise can be included in that, and that we can live by Jesus Christ as well. This is that bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. This is the promise of God. This is of his goodness that he is sharing. Say, you can live forever. Believe in me and you can live forever. Give your life unto me and you can live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Like, how do we process this? We're supposed to take of his flesh and blood. How are we supposed to hear this? And so they were murmuring among themselves. And Jesus is saying, are you offended by this? You're offended by this, that I'm telling you, you need to be a partaker of me to have eternal life? So now he says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? When you see the Son of Man go back up, are you then still going to be offended? Will you then still not believe? And then comes to that climactic verse where Jesus says to them, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that does this work. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. He's saying, not that the flesh, well, it profits a little bit sometimes under some circumstances. He's saying the flesh profiteth nothing. It's from dust, and to dust it shall return. Labor not for that meat which perisheth. Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye ate of the loaves and were filled. And so the flesh profiteth nothing. He says the words. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those are the words. These are the words that give spirit, and these are the words that give life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These are the words of life. These are the words that give life. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Forgive one another. Love one another. Give to one another. Don't judge, don't condemn. These are the words of life. These are the words of life that Jesus brought forth. They are spirit and they are life. They quicken, they make alive. Believe in me, says Jesus, and you shall have life. And then Jesus says, but there are some of you that believe not. You've heard the messages, you've seen the miracles, but you still don't believe. There are some of you that believe not. It says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Jesus knew from the very beginning. And he knew everyone by their names. God calls all the stars and names every one of them. Jesus knew the names of every one of them here. And he knew who it was who would believe in him and who would not believe. He knew Judas. He knew Judas before he even selected him to be one of the 12. And knew that he would betray him. Jesus knew all things ahead of time. Therefore, he said unto them, no man can come unto me except it were given him from my Father. So Jesus tells them, these words that I'm speaking unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And you need to be partakers of them. They weren't seeking Jesus for those reasons. They were seeking Jesus because they ate of the loaves and were filled. And so when Jesus is telling them, the flesh doesn't profit anything. It doesn't profit. And so now at this point, it says that from this time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, Jesus wasn't for them. Jesus wasn't for them. The Apostle Paul, in chapter number 3 of Philippians, says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Who are thinking about that next meal? Who are thinking about how they can have good in this life? How it's important to have just, you know, a good life here. A robust life. Everything favorable and to our advantage. That's not what Jesus called us to. Ours is to lay down our life, pick up our cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that his words are words that are of eternal life. You know, the Bible does say that heaven and earth shall pass away. Everything that we know, everything that we're familiar with, everything that we experience, every moment of our lives, it's all going to be passed away. It's all going to be gone. Even there's no going to be any more looking up into the stars of heaven. It's all going to be gone. The stars and the earth, everything down to the micro level, it's all going to be gone. But what will not be gone is the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away, says Jesus. And therefore, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But those who aren't interested in that, they walked away. They walked away. Their God was their belly. They were thinking about this life. They wanted things to their advantage in this life. And so Jesus turns to his 12 and he says to them, and you can kind of imagine that this was like a tender moment. It was probably crushing for not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but even for the disciples to see all these people who had just heard the words of God and decided, no, this isn't for me. And they turned around and walked away. And such a letdown on seeing that. And so Jesus turns to his 12 and says, Are you going to go away also? Are these words for you, or are they not for you? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter recognized those words. Peter recognized that it was more than what Jesus was saying about you need to be partakers of eating of my flesh and drinking of my blood. He knew that these were the words of life and life eternal. And so Peter's recognizing and says to Jesus, thou hast the words of eternal life. Eternal life. That's going to take us far beyond the grave. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And he says, and we believe and are sure. There's great confidence. There's great trust. There's great faith in believing and are sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one that can bring life if we believe in him. He is the one that can take us beyond this grave and fill us with a filling that is far, far greater than what anything in this life can provide for us. In Romans, I'd like to just close with a few verses here. Romans chapter 8, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The children of Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt, were minding the things of the flesh. They wanted those garlic, leeks, onions, cucumbers, fish that they had in Egypt. The disciples here were filled with these loaves and fish, and they wanted more. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's what they put their minds on. They're not worried about what happens after death. They're focused on this life. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And Peter recognized the things of the Spirit. Peter says, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, meaning at odds, at adversity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If a man's just simply seeking for the things of this life and this life alone, he cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We can have life. We can have eternal life if we yield ourselves to the Lord and believe his words. Believe that his words bring forth eternal life, an abundant life in him that goes far beyond simply just pleasing this flesh for a short moment of time. And when that last day comes, that last day, when heaven and earth will be passed away, we will know that Jesus will raise us up again. Amen.
As the brother brought out, verse 63, Jesus is saying that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then he said, but there are some of you that believe not. Now he is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his disciples. There are those, it tells us, who were following him. And so there's a, if we could call it like an outer circle of disciples that were following him, and they never had the life transforming faith. And it tells us here that when Jesus said unto them, some of you believe not, because Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And who should betray him. So even in the inner circle of disciples, of those who were called, He knew Judas from the beginning, that he couldn't fool Jesus. He knew from the beginning that he was going to betray him. He had some other thought of some other earthly gain. And these other outer circles, it tells us here, they're disciples. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back. His disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus says, that therefore have I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And so who is it that the Father gives? Does this mean that, well, I wasn't given by the Father, so I'd have no life? Jesus says, I've set forth words. My word is spirit and life. If you receive that, God will give you to Jesus. He says, my Father will give you unto me. See, this outer circle of disciples that walked with him no more, they never had that faith in that word. They had other motives. Like Judas, he had a different motive. Maybe it's a fear of death. And okay, I'm going to attach myself to the name of Jesus. They believed that he was a Messiah. They believed something about him. They followed him. Are you and I that type of a disciple that we know him as the Messiah? We know that he's the Redeemer. So I'm going to attach myself to him so I can have everlasting life. But did my faith, did the Father give me unto his Son? Because I believe in him. And that belief transformed my life. That's for all of us to ask and to pray to God that he would reveal our inner motives, our inner walk with him, and where do we stand with him, so that we aren't of those who would turn around and walk no more with him, but those who hold dear to him, who hold dear to those words that are eternal life. May he bless his word upon our hearts this day. Amen.